This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good weekend. Friday, got off of work, went downtown to the Bon Secours Wellness Arena, watched a little women's college basketball, then turned it around on Saturday. Obviously, bet for the cycle on Saturday, then left bet for the cycle, drove over to Paladin Stadium. Went and watched the Greenville Triumph get their season kicked off and underway. Then Saturday night, great one. Your boy went downtown to go see one of his favorite bands of all time, Cowboy Mouth, play a live show. Cowboy Mouth was in town on Saturday. And if you've never seen a Cowboy Mouth show.
Anybody else from the station go?
No.
Ah.
They did not. I did text, however, Captain America Chris Evans down the hall about an hour before the show started and sent him a picture of the marquee with Cowboy Mouth on it because I was thinking, as Mrs. Captain America Chris Evans down the hall joined the stream on Friday and was like, you know, making some comments using Cowboy Mouth songs as captions, I sent Chris a text and I'm like, you know what? Mrs. Chris Evans, Captain America down the hall. She knows about it. I know Chris is a big fan. As a matter of fact, Chris met the wife and I over in Columbia about 2.5 years ago. The last time I saw that this band was playing, I told him about it. And he was like, yeah, I guess I'm going to Columbia. And he drove over there and met us. Well, I texted him a little bit before the show. Said, hey, look, the boys are back. And they're in the GVL. First time they've played in Greenville
Birthday.
At all.
Birthday.
Correct.
Yes.
He texts me back and he's like, it's my boy's birthday, not going to make it. I was like, all right, that's fair.
Yeah, I know that because I had a technical problem and I had to reach out and I just...
Oh, you jerk.
Well,
you jerk, disturbing him on his boy's birthday.
Listen, I texted him and asked if it was a good time and I caught it right after all the birthday cake and the presents and people were about ready to drift away to sleep. So I caught it at a perfect time.
So I saw this band. I've been going to this band's concerts since I was quite literally in high school. They released the song.
It's a long time ago.
It was a very long time ago. They released a song back in the, I guess, early to mid-90s called Jenny Says, which I'm sure most of you have heard at some point or another. It's been on the alternative radio stations. I'm sure it's considered an oldie by now, but it's been on every radio station for a very long time.
Is it a classic, though?
Let it go, let it go, let it go. Let it go, let it go, let it go. When the world starts coming down on you, let it go. It's been around for a stupid long time. This band, obviously, out of New Orleans, Louisiana, like me, I went to see them on Saturday.
I don't know why it's obvious, but okay.
Very obvious. I went to go. I've been seeing them since I was in high school. That was probably show like 80, 85 for me over the last 20 years or so. And the wife got into them because I took her when they were in Columbia a few years back. She's like, I don't know. I drive all to Columbia for a concert. Get in the car. I promise you, if you don't have a good time, you can pick the next vacation. Okay, bet. She had such a good time that when she saw them playing here, she's like, don't book anything. I swear to you, I'll go without you. Bet. So we went, and, you know, it's one of those bands I don't know how to... If you don't understand, I don't know how to make you understand, but like, you know how you have that band or that song or that movie or that whatever that it's just like it's you can escape into it and nothing outside of that matters? It's that kind of concert. It's just it's good vibes only. They refuse to let you have a bad time. And let's just say that Rob Brown and the Lady Friend went ahead and prepped and took the Uber there to take the Uber back, and it was a good decision. Justified. Had a ball on Saturday. Woke up on Sunday because she and I had to meet somebody, and they came over to the house at about 11, and they knocked on the door, and I opened the door to say hello, and it was just, hey, hello, hello, hey, come here, and had to have the wife talk and run the whole meeting. Had to have the wife run the whole meeting, could not talk. But I am back good enough. I'm back good enough, all right?
So
I'm back
you,
and good
so you
enough.
You didn't head back to the well yesterday to watch the championship.
I'm not going to lie. I did not. Your boy was...
Sorry, you can see it better on TV anyway. I'm just, you know.
Your boy was not well yesterday. Your boy yesterday recovered hard. I got up. That lady was coming to the house at 11 o'clock. I got up at 10:52 a.m., unshowered from the con. Did not shower before I went to bed. Woke up at 10:52-ish a.m. for an 11 o'clock meeting with this lady. Got up, got dressed, did the meeting. When she left, I immediately went right back to the PJs. The wife and I went back to sleep, set an alarm to get up, got up, watched the South Carolina-Texas game. It ended. I went back to sleep again. I didn't function yesterday as a person.
Wow. I don't know if this is a result of Friday and Saturday or if this is age or a combination of all that.
No, it was Friday and Saturday. It was Friday and Saturday. I still got it, but... By the time last night,
you got too often.
Around,
you're gonna start looking like Keith Richards. I mean,
Keith Richards doing all right.
Yeah, well,
you make all the jokes you want about how old he is, but he's also 119.
I wasn't talking about how old he was. I was talking about what he looks like.
Yeah, well, if I got the career Keith Richards had, I'd be doing all right. All right. So yeah, but this is what you get today. All right. Texas said, "Can Lonzo do show today? Rob sound awful." Yes, caveman lawyer. If you would like Lonzo to do the show today.
That was a crack on me, probably.
I don't think so.
Yes,
I think it was a crack
Lonzo
on
just
This Is How I Sound.
In Game of Life. Lonzo talks sports sometimes.
I think maybe, maybe, just maybe. It's not just a guy attacking you. Maybe I just sound like ass, which is
okay, first
empirically
of all,
true.
What does that sound like? When someone sounds bad, that's what you think of? That sounds like that?
Yes, because it sounds repulsive.
There's only one sound that comes out of that.
No, there's many sounds that come out. There's one tone. Tonal, I do not sound like a
butt. No, I'm talking about out your butt. There's only one sound.
Right.
But you're right, though.
That's what
it
means.
Can have different strengths. And
that's what it
okay,
means.
All right, fine.
I sound like butt. All right, it is what it is. You're going to get this today. I apologize. I was unprofessional by going to a rock and roll show and rocking and rolling on Saturday, but we are here. We are ready to rock and roll for the foremost electrifying hours.
Were you drinking
in sports
paint
talk
thinner
entertainment.
Or something? Is that the kind of thing that messes your throat up? Paint thinner?
No, it was just the pure, unbridled power of rock and roll elevated to the highest echelon.
Were you singing at the top of your lungs?
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
Singing, screaming, chanting,
back key for you?
Hollering.
Was it back key? Or, I mean,
so you've never blown your voice out screaming? You've never done a show and just blown your voice out by going full tilt for 4 hours? Because I do all the time.
No, well, first of all, when I had a band, my stuff is a little more subdued. So no. And if you hear me yell, it scares people. So no. You've only heard me yell like once.
Well,
and that was when we played D&D and everybody nearly fainted.
I would love for the opportunity to have you experience the experience of being in a crowd at a rock and roll show.
Dude,
everyone
I've been to concerts.
Is losing their bleep. No, I know that. I'm saying in a crowd of jumping, screaming, sweating mass humanity.
Yeah, I've been to those before.
As Andrew Whitworth said, we're going to get sweaty and have a good time.
Here's the thing, and this, you know, everyone's good time is not the same. So my good time, you've seen my good time, and everyone thinks, oh, there's something wrong with him. Have I just went completely nuts and started screaming and yelling and stuff?
No one.
That's
what I'm saying.
You don't have to do that to have a good time.
No one said that. What I said was, you asked if I was drinking paint thinner, which may be a little. I mean, I don't know what was in those drinks.
I was trying to figure out what hurt your voice. That's all.
Screaming and jumping around for 4 hours.
Okay, I don't know why jumping would hurt your voice.
But just everything hurts. I am sore. I hurt myself just being alive.
You should have told me that before I needed your assistance earlier. But, you know.
Still got it.
You are my hero.
We got a lot to get to today on the radio broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, plenty to talk about. We have got the National Basketball Association. Bron Bron out for a couple of weeks. Luke has got to do it on his own. And of course, we only talk about the Lakers. Right, Chuck? Right, Chuck? I want to get into that because here's the thing. Chuck was right. 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 And I want to talk about that a little bit later. But at the same time, there's a reason Chuck was right. There's a reason it happened the way that it happened. There's a reason that Chuck's point was right, but also that it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy that the big-time networks only talk about the big-time teams. It sucks. I'm a fan of a small-market team. I wish my team got more play. But at the end of the day, there's a reason they don't. We're going to talk about that little fight brewing between Espen and one of their future employees, probably, and Chuck Barkley that took place at the end of last week. Most of that went down after we were done for the week.
You say probably, but that's what they want. So, I mean, that's the guy they want. That's why they're hiring him. And they don't want people to come in and go, oh, I love this guy. I love this guy. They want debate. They want strife. They want beef. And that's what they're getting right away.
What I have found, I'm not disagreeing. I do agree with that. This is the same network that embraced the embrace debate moniker for like a very long time. And there is that is the truth. But I've also found that historically they want you to debate, but not the network, right? Like you don't criticize the net. And so here's Chuck quite literally criticizing the net.
Pat McAfee did, and someone lost their job.
Sure. But Pat McAfee, much like Stephen A. Smith, and I think when he gets over there, probably Chuck, reached an element of stardom that became bigger than the net. It's kind of like LeBron. It's kind of like Mike and Kobe. Like, there's only certain stars, I guess is the word I'll go with. There's only certain guys and gals that reach that pinnacle where they can get away with that as opposed to lower ratings guys. I can't say things on the radio that Rich Eisen could if he wanted to because he's got that power and I don't. But there is still a reason that you will notice when guys like Pat and SAS and whatnot criticize the network, they still do it within the frame of the network. It's not, they may criticize like personnel decisions or management decisions. They don't criticize the coverage. They don't criticize who's on the TV, why, and for how long. So I want to get into that a little bit later on in the radio broadcast. Obviously, got to talk about the South Carolina basketball women's team knocking off Tejas yesterday. It wasn't just that. The Gamecocks have won another SEC tournament.
It was a beatdown. It could have been a whole lot worse.
It absolutely could have. It's not just that they beat Texas. It's not just that they got a third consecutive SEC conference championship tournament victory. It is how this team, when they wrecked Vanderbilt, when they got to Texas, when they tore Texas apart, this team was on... It was on cruise control, but like cruise control with the throttle pinned, right? Like I was going to say it's like this team's on cruise control, but then I'm like, that's not really like, it doesn't really convey what that means. Because usually cruise control kind of has this this inference of like, just taking it easy, you know, just set the throttle, cruise control, enjoy your ride. That's not it. They were steamroller on cruise control in this tournament. And the whole concept of, getting hot at the right time. I mean, that was it. That was it. Getting right at the hot time, getting hot at the right time was what South Carolina's women's basketball team just did as they wait to find out when and where they're playing in the NCAA. I mean, we know when and where to start. Original number one will be in Columbia, South Carolina. But to find out who's coming to visit and who they'll see in round two, et cetera, what a hell of a right time to get hot. So we're going to talk about that coming up later on in the show. We're going to be tracking, obviously, baseball and softball throughout the duration of the year. Both the Tigers and the Gamecocks got a sweep this weekend. I will say, respectfully, one of them more impressive than the other. We will set you up for what this week in college baseball looks like as both teams are getting ever closer to the beginning of conference play. So we'll check in with the baseball teams of both. We got a little NASCAR because Christopher Bell is kind of a dog. Three straight wins on the Cup Series circuit is wild. Hadn't seen that happen in a very, very long time. So I'm going to talk about what he was able to do. Was yesterday the wildest NFL free agency day in a very long time? It wasn't just the number of contracts that got signed yesterday. It wasn't just the size of the contracts that got... Max Crosby was the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL for like 4 days. And then Myles Garrett got a deal. And he stays in Cleveland. Devontae moves. DK Metcalf moves. Yesterday was a... I was very glad yesterday that I decided to stay at home and not wear pants and just watch sports all day because it was damn near impossible to keep up. So I want to get into that a little bit later on because goodness gracious, what a free agency day we had. And it's not even technically free agency time, but it's free agency time. So we got to get into that coming up here in just a little while because if we had that busy of a day when it was not free agency time, when it's just trades and extensions time, what is free agency going to look like coming up here in just a couple of days? We'll come to some NFL talk later on in the show. We got your audio blitz coming up at 8 a.m. Got a good roster of sound for you to run through and getting you all set up for tonight as Wire to Wire will be up in Asheville, North Carolina for the SoCon Conference Championship Tournament because FU one time, FU two times, FU three times, FU all the time. The Furman Paladins on a little bit of a run right now. So we're going to talk about that. And Bob Ritchie, what a dog. What a dog. A lot of people had this team written off before that tournament even started. The boys are heated. So we're going to talk about that, some potential moves down the line in the NFL, the NBA, maybe a little golf, maybe a little hockey if we're feeling good. Alex Ovechkin went from 9 to catch Gretzky to 9 to pass Gretzky with an empty netter last night. So let's put that historical accomplishment into perspective. It is going to be a busy 4 hours. I hope you'll join us. 844-326-3663 is the number to get on the line. 844-326-3663 is the number to text the show, as Spartanburg Jay has done. Say good morning, Rob. Hope your voice gets better on the road again this week. Odyssey app and the best damn sports show on the radio. Have a great week. Go Tigers. Appreciate that, Jay. Be safe out there on the roads, my guy. Everybody else, jump in. Jump in line. Let's go. Let's have some fun. 4 hours of fun and shenanigans underway now on The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's get into the world of the National Football League, because yesterday was very busy day yesterday. Get into the some of the big ones first. DK Metcalf is now a Pittsburgh Steeler. The Steelers jumped into the free agency pool yesterday, although, well, I guess not free agency. They made a trade. I got to stop saying that. It's not free agency season just yet. This probably is going to change.
It's like a week away, isn't it?
I think it's the 12th. I'll find out here in a second. Doesn't matter now. It's got a different look to it. DK Metcalf, 2025 second round draft pick, and he agreed to a 5-year, 100.
By the way, it's today.
Okay, it is today. I knew it was the, so the 12th is the league new year then. You got 2 days for the league new year, and then the teams must be under the salary cap at that point. Steelers and Seahawks also flipping 2025 picks in the 6th and 7th round. So a little bit of a move up for Seattle, a little bit of a move back for Pittsburgh. Also signing DK to a 5-year, $150 million extension. The 27-year-old second-round pick back in 2019 requested a trade last Wednesday as he was prepped to enter the final year of a 3-year, $72 million extension he signed back in 2022. Before that, he had 1 year left on his contract worth $18 million, but they are going to now pay him $30 million annually to get there. Only six other wideouts have contracts currently valued for at least $30 million before Metcalf's extension. The most the Steelers had ever spent on an outside free agent was linebacker Patrick Queen, who they paid $41 million for a 3-year deal in the last free agency period. Metcalf's trade comes only a few days after the Seahawks dealt quarterback Geno Smith to the Raiders, which we got to talk about coming up later on the show. The Seahawks now have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds of this upcoming draft. The Steelers now have a big play pass catcher on the outside to pair opposite George Pickens, which leads me to my big question. Can those two coexist? Can the Steelers coexist with those two? And is Pittsburgh safe? Is everyone in Pittsburgh okay? Because these two cats together could end up causing mass and unbridled chaos when it's all said and done. I'm interested to watch this one play out. Here's the next fun question. The hell are the Steelers going to do at quarterback? Because they've got Russell Wilson. It has been expected for some time that Russell Wilson will likely get his walking papers probably today. Then you have Justin Fields. Justin Fields still on the roster. He's now had a day to wash the Chicago off of him. Is that enough time? Do the Steelers believe he can be that guy? I'm going to go ahead and make my prediction right now. My prediction is that Justin Fields is going to get dealt. My prediction is Justin Fields will be heading somewhere. In fact, not just heading somewhere, I could see it being Seattle. Unless Sam Darnold ends up in Seattle. If Seattle's willing to come off that cash for Sam Darnold, then Justin Fields finds himself in an interesting spot, because there's only a couple of teams that are going to be hurting for a QB1. And it is likely that he will be competing with Russell Wilson, who will be 37 when the season kicks off. He'll be competing with Russell Wilson for the limited number of available QB1 spots. My prediction on Justin Fields being dealt is based on one thing. And I don't know if this is Justin Fields. I don't know if this is the residuum from Chicago. I don't know if this is a lack of development. I don't know why I said either one of those two words that way.
Is that
Chicago?
Really? No, the residuum.
It should have been residuals.
Okay, all right.
I was committed to it, and by the time I finished the word, I realized it was too late to back out. So I was just going to keep rolling.
I didn't say anything on the air. I just looked at you. You could have just kept going.
Yeah, you stretched the furthest I've seen you stretch in a while to make sure I knew that you were giving me the look. And that's fine. I deserved it. I think residuum is a word, though. I don't know if I'm using it right there, but I do think it is a word. Either way, I don't know if this is the residue left on Justin Fields from Matt Eberflus. I don't know if this is the fact that the PT was somewhat limited in Pittsburgh, or if it's just who Justin Fields is as a player. But Justin Fields is a guy that has immense amounts of athleticism. We know that. He's a dual-threat quarterback who can absolutely move. We know that. He's also a guy that, based on what we've seen so far, isn't the quickest decision-maker when throwing the football from a clean pocket.
Residuum is a word, actually.
Definition.
Something left after other parts have been taken away.
If I wasn't afraid of it hitting TVs, microphones, or monitors,
please don't do that.
I would spike the bleep out of this football right there.
Way to go, you.
Bang! I'm going to Mike Breen myself. I don't know if it's the residuum from Chicago, from Matt Eberflus. I don't know if it's Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's Justin Fields. Just not a fast decision maker. Not a bad decision maker. Just not a quick decision maker. He doesn't arrive to the right conclusion fast enough.
What was his record before Russell Wilson got better? It was 4-2, I think. So he had a winning record. So I disagree with what you're saying about him. I think you're dissing him for no reason.
I'm not dissing him. I'm saying, just based on objective analysis, I don't care what happens to Justin Fields. I don't care.
Stop hating.
It's not. Oh man, it's. It's not hating. I don't care. If he succeeds, great. If he doesn't succeed, it doesn't impact me in the least. I am as objective a guy as you're going to find. From what I have watched.
Oh, if he wins the Super Bowl, it will impact you because I'll make sure it does.
Again, doesn't impact me because I have no ill will towards him. I'm not a fan. I'm not a hater. Just an objective analysis is slow decision maker, which there are some offenses, Baltimore's, that would actually be okay with. You'd be fine with that. If your offense is predicated on moving the ball on the ground as your primary, then that's fine. With DK Metcalf and George Pickens on both sides, it's not going to be. This is going to be interesting to watch this development because this is an offense. It's been a long time thought that like the Pittsburgh Steeler offense is a, you know, gritty blue collar, lunch pail, run the football kind of offense. They're not. They're a 50-50 offense. They're a balanced offense. I think they are going to start shifting towards more 60-40 to the pass. Of course you are. You got DK Metcalf on one side and George Pickens on the other. Like that's a pair. That is an elite pairing of wide receivers. But it also means I got to have somebody back there that can plant the foot, make the read, get rid of the football. And that's not been, I'm not saying he can't get better at it, but that's not been a Justin Fields special so far, which is why we learned shortly after this move got made that the Steelers are in on Sam Darnold, that they are looking to try to get Sam Darnold up out of Minnesota and are willing to potentially outbid the Seattle Seahawks to go get him. I'm going to keep it a buck with you. I have no idea why the Seattle Seahawks would be in on Sam Darnold. At a guy who's going to be getting an $85 million contract. I have no idea why Seattle would move Tyler Lockett, would move DK Metcalf, would go to, and a good wide receiver. You want a Buckeye? I absolutely do think he's a stud. Jaxon Smith-Njigba's a stud. But he's a second-year guy. Is that a guy that I'm going to prop up to one and think he's going to just auto-carry an offense? I'm not saying he can't. I'm saying I also look at the rest of Seattle and go, what are we basing the decision to pay a quarterback $85 million? I'd have kept Geno Smith. Why would you pay Sam Darnold $85 million when you could have just kept Geno Smith and been the same team? I don't get it. But they're in on Sam Darnold. Now apparently the Pittsburgh Steelers are in on Sam Darnold as well. So the quarterback carousel continues to turn. And I'll tell you, as much as I have said a couple of times, I'm not a Sam Darnold believer. I think Sam Darnold is following the same blueprint that Kirk Cousins followed. He got made by Kevin O'Connell and the elite skill position talent they have on the outside there in Minnesota. I think there's a lot of very average quarterbacks that would look damn good in Minnesota based on what they have to work with there. And I think he benefited, and I think he profited off of that. I'm not in on Sam Darnold. But right now, today, if you're going Sam Darnold or you're going Justin Fields on the contract, it's going to depend on what Seattle's willing to pay him. If I can get Sam Darnold for $50 million, sure, roster him. And I'd keep Justin Fields for the record. I'd keep him on the field. And the minute Sam Darnold starts to come apart at the seams, I'd make the switch. But if he could carry the Vikings to 14-2, even if it was Kevin O'Connell and the wide receivers, he carried him to 14-2. I'd give it the run even if I don't believe in him long term. All right, when we come back, let's keep going with some of these NFL notes that dropped yesterday. Myles Garrett, still a Cleveland Brown. Most highly paid non-quarterback in the league. Fair, foul, what do we think? Back after this on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. All right, let's run through some more of these NFL headlines that started absolutely cranking out yesterday. We talked about DK Metcalf on his way to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Josh Allen has been rewarded for his NFL MVP season with a record-setting six-year, $330 million contract, $250 million of it guaranteed, a quarter billy guaranteed, a third of a bill for the total valuation of a contract that will carry him if he plays the length of it through his 34th year of age. The extension takes Allen from the 14th highest average annual value amongst quarterbacks of $43 million to tied for second with $55 million a season on average. Only Dak Prescott is being paid more than Josh Allen.
It does. I'm curious, did Josh Allen make the mistake of putting Super Bowl incentives in his contract? Because that's money he'll never see.
General manager Brandon Bean said, quote, "I love Josh and I'm so proud of what he's done. And so I could be here all day talking about how great he is and what he's done for our team and where he belongs in the pecking order of all that stuff. He and I have a great relationship. We talk a lot when the dust settles before we're ever really ever really talking to his agent or his agent's calling me. Like, Josh and I will have those conversations holistically." I was about to say holy, holistically, I mean, it's St. Josh, holistically about a team, things like that. And I'm not saying it will happen. I'm not saying it won't happen. There'll be a time and a place. And I'm not saying we will, but I'm not ruling it out either. Whatever, Brandon Bean, Josh Allen, second highest paid quarterback behind only Dak Prescott. Allen became the first player in NFL history to record 25 touchdown passes and 10 rushing touchdowns with fewer than 10 picks in a season last year. He finished with 28 tutties, 12 on the ground, and just 6 picks. Allen has accounted for 260 touchdowns in his career via passing or rushing, the most in a player's first 7 seasons in NFL history, and 29 more than the next closest player, Patrick Mahomes, through the same time frame. Improving turnovers was a focal point for Allen heading into the season. He turned in the lowest number in his career with just 8 for the Buffalo Bills as they won their 5th consecutive AFC East season title. I have seen a lot of commentary. I have heard a lot of talk about this contract extension. I had to laugh my ass off last night because I was scrolling the gram as I tend to do into the evenings, and I came across the Instagram feed of a Miami Dolphins fan who was like, ha, 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 genuinely laughing. It just hurts me to do that right now. Genuinely laughing right now, saying, "You just overpaid Just an absolutely overrated quarterback. You just paid a guy who hasn't gotten you there. You just paid a guy who can't get it done. You just paid a guy, blah, 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 blah. Like he, did you forget how much y'all paying Tua Tagovailoa? Did y'all forget how much he was paying your guy? When Josh Allen has run that division for five straight years now? Sit down, Miami fans. Sit down. Look, no, he hasn't won a Super Bowl. But wins and losses aren't a quarterback stat. Josh Allen has won a hell of a lot more than he's lost. Josh Allen has performed a hell of a lot more than most other quarterbacks have performed. Through his first 7 years, you could make the argument that in everything except championships, Josh Allen might have had the most successful 7-year run to start a career of any quarterback ever, with the exception of rings. So this is kind of one of those guys that I can tell you your thoughts on Josh Allen very simply by asking you, where on the pecking order of quarterback attributes, when their career is done, do you put rings? If it's number one, you think this was an overpaid contract. If you go wins and losses, rings, championships aren't a quarterback stat, then you think this contract's great. And I would be willing to say that's probably a line we could draw right between Zoe and I on this. I think this contract is one of the most well-earned, big fat time contracts ever.
By the way, get paid what you can pay. Get paid. I have no problem with him getting the contract that he's gotten. That was a joke about the thing, but I was kind of serious. I hope he doesn't have those incentives because as of now, he hasn't made it to the Super Bowl. So, and people will say, when will they stop? Why do these contracts keep going up and up and up? Is there a ceiling? The salary cap went up, which makes the ceiling higher, right? So, I mean,
yeah, it went up like 50, what was it? Or no, like $27 million last year, $23 million last year. It's gone up like a total of 50-some-odd million dollars over the last 2 years. And I got news for you. It's going to go up again. There's never going to be a year where the NFL announces the salary cap's coming down. Like, that's never going to happen. And as long as we keep watching and paying for it, then there's no reason for it to.
Does it bother you? I don't know that it bothers. It probably bothers the players that the quarterback that's won the most Super Bowls and has been there the most lately is not the top paid quarterback.
I mean, listen, as far as I'm concerned, that's
he takes less money, which is good on him.
That's up to Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. I'm just like, I will never fault a guy for getting the bag. I will never fault a guy for saying, I'll give you a 33.3% discount if you'll go get me some dogs. And this is one of the things I pointed out. Now, they're in that same vein. You could say that this could be considered a criticism of Josh Allen. Why would you go out there and take an AAV contract that makes you the second highest paid quarterback on an annual value in the league when you guys don't have weapons on the offensive side of the football? Like, if you left some of that money on the table, they could afford to go other places.
Yeah, but didn't you talk about how good he was and other people did? There's a reason why he won MVP, that he was able to do what he was able to do with less talent.
Yeah.
So that means, that means you expect him to do that every single year. So
he has done it every single year.
Right, right.
Like that's the reason they're paying him.
So why should he be concerned about getting better talent when he's able to do what he's able to do without better talent?
Because listen,
maybe that's what it takes to take that next step, probably, but still.
I mean, probably. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is an exceptional talent. There's no argument about that. But at the same time, we're not going to sit here and argue that Patrick Mahomes hasn't had great talent surrounding him and a great head coach, Buffalo. McDermott again. Now, in fairness, kind of beat up on McDermott. My man's won 5 consecutive divisional titles. My man's been to multiple AFC championship games. Can't get out of them. But then again, here's the question I would throw out.
He can't beat Andy Reid.
That's it.
I mean, there's a lot of people. He can during the regular season. He just can't do it in the playoffs.
My question has been, I've asked it before, and I'll ask it again. How many Super Bowls does Josh Allen have if Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist? I'd say 3. I'd say, honestly, I'd say three. I think Josh Allen would be a... I think if Patrick Mahomes wasn't born,
I think
Josh Allen
might have something to say about that. I think Cincinnati may have something to say about that.
I mean, I'd like to say Cincinnati, but how'd they do in the playoffs last year?
True, but out of all the ones, they were good in that one year, and Buffalo couldn't get past them. Buffalo didn't get past Cincinnati last time they played them in the playoffs. I'm just, it's not just,
it's not guaranteed. Of course, it's not guaranteed. We can say that all day. Mahomes has been the bugaboo for not just Josh Allen, but for Lamar and Joe Burrow and just about everybody else that is a quarterback in the NFL, period. What I will say is, I would speculate, with absolutely no proof for it, that if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist, Josh Allen would have one, maybe two, long shot three, but definitely would have one in my opinion. I can't fault him. And frankly, I guess Sean McDermott, for just happening to exist at the same time that that Patrick Mahomes does. It's kind of like Peyton Manning. Pepe would have had a couple more if Tom Brady didn't exist. Brady stopped him a number of times from getting one. Another great example, Tom Brady would have more if Eli Manning didn't exist. Right? Like, it's just sometimes that other guy's got you and there's nothing you can do about it. So I don't have any issue with this contract. I would also say, to me, I will give you a home. If I'm in Josh Allen's position, I will give you a hometown discount the day that you prove to me that you're efficiently going to use the money I leave on the table. Patrick Mahomes can look at the Chiefs and say, yeah, they officially use the money I leave on the table. I leave money on the table, Chris Jones gets paid. I leave money on the table, Hollywood Brown gets a contract. I leave money on the table, Nuke DeAndre Hopkins shows up. I leave money on the table, it gets spent in the right places and efficiently. How many times have I pointed out, and I don't think I need to again, but I will anyway. How many times have I pointed out that last year, an MVP year, Josh Allen spent half the season with his number one wide receiver being a rookie drafted out of Florida State University. And by the way, a guy that when he got drafted, what was my take on it? What was a lot of people's take on him? All the talent in the world, raw, just raw, like Gordon Ramsay. It's raw because he wasn't polished at Florida State. He didn't have to be. With Johnny Wilson on one side, all Keon Coleman needed to do was get open-ish. And Jordan Travis would get you the football. That was pretty much it. He didn't have to be polished at Florida State, so they didn't polish him because what they did was enough. So that's the guy he gets half the year with. Then they go get Amari Cooper halfway through the season. What happens? Keon Coleman immediately goes down with a wrist injury. Unfortunate, sure. But that meant that a handful of games, Josh Allen only had Amari Cooper. I had Dalton Kincaid and Knox. Like, he had good tight ends. James Cook had a whale of a year. I started talking about James Cook in like week 11. I'm like, yo, this guy needs to be appreciated for what he's doing. Great running back game, good tight end game. But Josh Cook didn't start cooking until week eight, week nine was when he really, at least to me, started breaking out of his shell. And tight ends. Like, tight ends are a great quarterback emergency route. They should not be your primary focus, right? Travis Kelce puts all those yards together. How often is Travis Kelce Patrick Mahomes' number one route? Couple times a game, max, right? Like, a great tight end gets himself open when everybody else is covered up, but he's not the number one. So he goes half the season with the rookie out of Florida State. Then he goes a handful of games with just Amari Cooper. Then Amari starts getting dinged up. So it's like half Keon Coleman and half Amari Cooper. They're both half healthy. And what did Josh Allen do? NBD. Win the division, 14 wins, go get an MVP, and once again get stopped by Travis Kelce and the Chiefs, by Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, by Andy Reid and the Chiefs. Pay the man. Like, that guy has dragged Buffalo, who has for years done nothing to help him. I pay the man. Give him his money. If I'm going to give you the hometown discount, I expect to get, that's an investment from me back into the team, right? We all call it a discount. I don't think it's a discount. I think we should stop calling it a hometown discount. And what we should start calling it is a reinvestment in the team. If you offer me $100 million and I say, I'm going to take 80 of that, take the other 20 mil and put it back into the product. What do I expect? I expect you to take that 20 mil, invest it in the product, and give me back another return on that investment greater than $20 million. Is there a Bills fan out there? I know we got a big-ass Buffalo Bills fan base here in Greenville, South Carolina. It's part of the reason we're hanging on this, because there's a lot of Buffalo fans. I've met them. They're great. If any of you Buffalo fans happen to be up and at them this damn early in the morning, I want to hear what you have to say, because I personally do not feel like Buffalo has reinvested in Josh Allen. So I don't have a problem with Josh Allen going, no, I'm taking every dollar you're going to put on the table and then I'll reinvest it later. Or not. He has no obligation to do that. Like, sure, it's nice when that happens. Mahomes does it. Brady did it for most of his career, right? Tom Brady was never the top paid quarterback in the NFL. With all them ranks, never the top paid quarterback in the NFL, because he kept taking less money to have guys stacked around him. Now, again, I've also made the point that Tom Brady never had the most elite weaponry on the outside. But you know what Tom Brady did have? A bunch of guys who fit his game perfectly, who were never a problem. Never a problem. Name me a wide receiver, a tight end, a running back in New England that ever caused drama around Tom Brady and was allowed to stay on the team. You can't.
Okay, the second part, I was going to say
right.
Aaron Hernandez.
And was allowed to stay on the team, right? He was removed from the team for a variety of reasons. But the reality here is, if you caused an issue for Tommy touchdowns, you weren't a Patriot anymore. And that's why he never had necessarily the most elite weaponry, but he had guys who fit his game perfectly. Does Josh Allen have that in Buffalo? I would say no. And I would say he has not had that in Buffalo. So I don't have a problem with Josh Allen taking every dollar Buffalo wants to put on the table. In fact, quite the opposite. I'd say he's earned it. He has dragged that team consistently to everywhere except the Super Bowl, and that's just because he keeps running up against the dynasty. Now, I'm curious if Kansas City is Kansas City next year, or if this is like, listen, the Patriots lost some Super Bowls. Tom Brady never went away. I'm kind of starting to laugh at all the people that are, we're getting set for 2025, and they're like, oh, you know, Chiefs never going to be the same. They lost the game. Like, yeah, you got handed to you. Sure, it was a rough game. But, like, we're not writing them off as a cooked franchise. Of course not. That's a silly thing to do.
Well, some people are.
Yeah. Those people, I suspect,
are the same ones that do it every single year.
And are going to have a couple of, they're going to have some answers they're going to have to hand out at the end of next year. Maybe. Or maybe they're right. Either way.
Get some tackles, Chiefs. That's all I'm saying. Get some tackles.
Either way, Josh Allen, as far as I'm concerned, without a doubt deserves to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. Dallas Cowboys, and Cowboys fans, selective aggression. Isn't that what John Cena used to say back in the day? Selective aggression.
No, I don't think that's.
Oh, was that not? I thought that was catchphrase.
No, it wasn't selective aggression. That's a new one. Someone said that like a couple weeks ago.
Damn, who was it? Who would say such a silly phrase while they were like running an NFL team or something? Could you imagine if somebody running your NFL team said selective aggression?
No, that would be a very Texas thing to do.
Yeah, another John Cena catchphrase, you can't see me because I'm leaving the room while Alonzo does his sports flash.
Best one ever right there. South Carolina Gamecocks are once again SEC conference champions in women's basketball after knocking off Texas in the championship game 64-45. Chloe Kitts put up 15 points with 9 rebounds, and Tessa Johnson added 14 off the bench. Gamecocks shot 42% but kept Texas to a tournament low 29% from the field and just 1 of 8 from deep. It's the third consecutive conference tournament championship win for the Gamecocks. Clemson baseball team finished off a 3-game sweep of Davidson with an 11-4 Sunday afternoon win. The Tigers pitching staff saw 4 players on the hill who gave a combined 5 hits and struck out 13. Make sure you tune in tonight at 6:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Wofford Terriers in the SoCon Basketball Championship game. It's Furman versus Wofford right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball. It's pretty cool that they're playing each other for the championship.